Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. It is often entitled the Annunciation. It's the announcement of Gabriel to Mary. And we hear these words. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called to be barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we do pray for your Holy Spirit to anoint this time of sharing and receiving together. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Do we have the song? I want the song. All right. I'm not kidding. All right.
I love you. Let's do it.
Just a small town girl living in a lonely world.
There it is.
Thank you. Amen. All right. Just don't stop believing. All right. Now, the academic title of today's sermon would be Faith, the Dynamics of the Annunciation. But the word of challenge is don't stop believing. If you were to look at Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26, it begins so softly. It begins not even with the subject, it begins with a conjunction. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. To this little bitty place, this place of softness, that so much so that Luke has to tell us where to find it on the map, that no one would know where Galilee, where Nazareth would be. And then we come to this very soft entrance of who this message has been sent to in verse 27. To a virgin espoused or engaged or betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. I've been reading from the King James Version this morning, and when you get to that word before Mary, was, is in italics. It is as though this very soft story begins very softly. In music, it's called piano. And it begins to build and crescendo till we get the very name of the person who has been called to receive this message. And her name is Mary. Like a small town girl living in a lonely world, of all the places that you would find the recipient of the message of God, it goes to Mary. Verse 28, and the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, I want you to think for just a moment about the first century world, of all the things that you would know about it. Where would you find an important woman? And if you understand this word favor as gift, as the charis of God, or we get the word charismatic from this word, this favor, this gift of God, where would you find the most gifted woman in the world? Would you think Jerusalem and the beautiful palaces or the temple that was there? Or maybe you would go all the way to Rome, where the emperor is, and perhaps in Rome you would find a woman of favor and a woman of power. But this story begins softly as this angelic visitation comes to a specific woman whose name was Mary in this place that you need help to find. It comes to Mary of Nazareth. That is where God has sent God's favor. And the angel said unto her in verse 30, or in verse 29, and when she saw in Mary's response that she was troubled in his saying and cast in her mind what mind of salutation this should be. So in hearing this interruption of her life, it says that Mary was troubled. There are lots of folks who have all kinds of trouble today. From being late to church, like the preacher, to being out of sync and out of time with everything else in the world. People waking up from having recovered from COVID-19 and not just days are missing, but weeks are missing from their life. Several folks were on their journey this morning and an automobile accident has changed the course not just of their day, but they will always remember this year's Christmas because their car was on fire and from the gas station. Now, I've said all of that to say that when we truly open the gift of Jesus, it's not with automobile fires or with disease, but when you come to accept Jesus in your life, you had better believe and better understand that when you come to believe in Jesus, it will cause you some trouble in your life. Now, that is contrary to the popular psychology of today that says believe in Jesus and everything will be just okay. Matter of fact, when you open the gift of Jesus in your life in that story as a part of your story, you should expect that it will cause things to be different in your life. One of Carol's friends before Christmas sent me a Facebook message, and that's not the best way to get a hold of me. Fortunately, I did see it. She asked, what was the color theme of our house? Man, she's got the wrong person to answer that question. It's brown and green? Taupe? I don't know. Sage? I don't know. Color. It's not gray, because I chose gray when we were picking up the colors of the house, and Carol quickly told me that's a cold color. She wanted warm colors for our house. That's all I know. I think I did all right, and Carol said it matched great. That gift matched great. Do you know that when you open the gift of Jesus in your life, that it is a particular kind of gift. It is a particular way of causing the word to be manifest in your life. That if there is something in your life that doesn't match the word of God, if it doesn't match the lifestyle of God, it's going to stand out. It will cause a clash within the soul. It doesn't matter who we are, that if you truly open the gift of Jesus, it does cause us a moment where we have to redirect our life. This young Mary, 12 or 13, can you imagine how she expected her life to unfold? Like all the women of Nazareth would have unfolded in the past about getting married and this life that she envisioned for her future. Now an angel has come. Gabriel has come into her life, caused her trouble because the message that this angel has brought is that God's favor was on her. Now, this Luke that tells us the story is telling us not just that God's favor is upon Mary, but as sons and daughters of God today, we should be able to hear that God's favor is for all of us. Yes, it is for all of us. And the music of this text begins to grow and crescendo that the angel said unto her in verse 30, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." I would imagine in music notation it would be an F or a forte or a fortissimo, that a double F, that the angel says to Mary, "Fear not," fortissimo, a strong response to Mary. Does anybody else this morning need to hear the words, "Fear not"? I know I do. I've even struggled about whether it was all right for us to gather in the sanctuary this morning, and it may prove to be foolish, but right now we are continuing to offer on-site worship services for those who feel that it is safe for them. But the reality is that none of this life is safe. There are all kinds of dangers, all kinds of places that we will go and encounter challenges, and not just about whether we come to church. And there is no guilt to be had for those joining us online. Everyone needs to make the best decision for themselves. And I encourage that, and I'm not peddling guilt, all right? But in addition to COVID-19, we have all kinds of fears, financial fears, political fears. As a dad, I've experienced fears for my children. If there's ever been a word that we needed to hear today, it would be a fortissimo, "Fear not," a word from Gabriel to Mary to the church in Gallatin. And to find God's favor, again, this gift, isn't it interesting that there's nothing said in Luke about why Mary was favored by God? Dr. Fred Cranick, in his commentary on Luke, would say that God has hidden away, tucked away in the purposes of God, why Mary is favored. Now, when you look at your own life, not the life that we want others to see, but when we look in ourselves and we really come to know who we are, all right,
it's going to be great.
When we look at ourselves and we really know who we are, the question is, why in the world, when we know how wrong we've messed up in our past, why would God still pursue us with this much love? Do you know, I imagine that the answer to that question is found in the same place why Mary is favored. It is tucked away in the purposes of God. You don't have to wonder why God would love you so much, but God does, and God never gives up on us. Fear not, church. You have found favor with God. That no matter who you are or where you've been in your life, God could never gives up on pursuing us with His grace. And then with the steady beat of this music that is behind Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel goes on to say, "And behold, you're going to conceive in your womb, bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus." In the King James Version, Jesus is all capital letters, capital J-E-S-U-S. Over the last several weeks, I've been listening to a festival of lessons and carols and lessons. My favorite comes from King's College at Cambridge. The story goes that in Great Britain, Bishop Cornwall was noticing how much his folks in his community were drinking around Christmas,
and decided that he needed to do something about it. So he told them on Christmas Eve, you need to go to church, and started a festival of hymns and lessons to get his people out of the pub and to go to church. Isn't that an interesting story, right? That's happened about the 1780s, and this choir that sings this festival at St. Mary's, they've only had 9 choir directors since the 1790s. Now, think about that. Think about a church, how many pastors we've had in 175 years. Think about this choir that's only had 9 choir directors since the 1790s. That's incredible, I think. In a recent news article on WPLN, or a podcast called Classically Speaking, the choir directors interviewed about the changes that are happening this year because of COVID-19. And one of the stories that I thought was really interesting is that because there aren't people in the sanctuary for the Christmas Eve service, they have to account for the echo of the chamber of the sanctuary. They have a 6-second delay, or a 6-second echo, that happens with everything that's said in the cathedral. I wanted to share that story because I want you to know what the power of the name of Jesus is in your life. That in every situation where you find yourself fearful of what's happening, in every relationship where you find there is brokenness, and you might have been counting in the past on the Christmas get-together to be able to resolve conflict, you're not going to have that this year. You're going to actually have to work harder to make peace with your family and your friends. You know, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And that in every place that there is brokenness, in every place of pain, in every place where you are tearful or fearful about the future, we are called to say the name of Jesus with so much authority and repetition that it echoes over our problems, it echoes over our situations. It gives us hope and strength so that when things aren't going our way, that the name of Jesus can be heard over those problems and situations. The name of Jesus is important for us. And that as we would know what it is to have faith in Jesus, again, faith in the dynamics of the Annunciation. In a musical term, it might be a fermata. That happens in music when you hold a note until the conductor cuts you off. That you continue to speak the name of Jesus over that situation until God says, that's enough. We need to hear that word today, church. And goes on in the steady beat of this story, he shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And of his reign and of his kingdom there will be no end. And then verse 34, the dynamics change again as Mary responds. I wonder if her response was, again, a piano, a very soft response, as she responds to the angel and says, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She's not been with a man, and so how is she going to conceive a son? I fall into this temptation when I'm praying. When I have these situations in my life, I start praying the answer. You know, James Johnson's solution to the problem. I start praying that instead of asking for God's solution. I start praying my solution. Have you had that experience? It's kind of like what my parents would do, and I know my mama watches these services, and you know, most Christmases, my parents actually would take us Christmas shopping, and we had a pretty good idea what we were going to get for Christmas. There may be a surprise or two, but generally we knew. It's like going. We approach prayer, and we approach the promises of God that are found in God's Word like we do a Christmas list. Like, this is what I want from you, God. This is what I'm expecting to be under my Christmas tree. And the angel begins to give the response, which is what we need to hear today for these places of great suffering for our world.
And again, with a growing momentum of this music, the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee." The angel Gabriel is telling us the truth. For these places of pain and suffering, for all of these places where we thought we had it figured out when we don't, it's like trying to figure out what's wrapped beneath the Christmas wrapping paper, and you pick it up and you shake it and realize someone's been playing with this. Right, you know, or the package of batteries that are all loose, you know, you just wonder what's inside that until you open it up. We need to invite the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to fill the packages that we have. These empty places within us, they are designed to be filled by the Holy Ghost. Mama says, "I don't know how to wrap Christmas gifts." That's funny. So no one laughed at that. But I mean, there were a couple. Okay, I'm getting some amens. All right. Mama says, "I don't know how to wrap Christmas gifts." And everyone is going to be different. All right. I don't have one way of wrapping a gift. But you know, I'm going to cover every edge. All right. I'm going to cover every edge. And a lot of tape. And a lot of tape. We are designed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Mary was designed by God to be the solution to, think about how many generations of people had lived between the fall of Adam and Eve and the redemptive story of Jesus, and that Mary was the person God chose, designed to be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost to usher in to this world the Savior. And if that's not enough that you'd be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, Mary, and this is the answer how. I want you to know, and behold, your cousin Elizabeth, they said that she couldn't have a baby, and she is already 6 months, and she was called barren. God is not just speaking to you, Mary. God's favor is not just on you, but it's on your cousin too. And then we come to verse 37. 1F is forte, 2Fs are fortissimo, and if you see 3Fs on a piece of music, it's called fortissimo. All right, you should say that. It's kind of fun. Fortissimo. All right. I'm not sure if you really said it. You've got your mask on. All right, that's good. That's good. In verse 37, if there's not a smile behind your mask, we need more coffee before we come to church, which is, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Those are words that we need to write down somewhere. When we're about to have that conversation, when we're about to go into something that seems like, I just don't know how we're going to get through this, verse 37 of Luke chapter 1 should be the verse that we have written down. For with God, and it reminds us that where the solution comes, it's not for with James, or with the church, it's for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Those are words of truth. They were promises that God keeps, that if you can find yourself with God, aligned with His word, you would know verse 37 is always going to be true. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And then we come to the last verse of this story. I'm going to say that verse 38 is a sforzando. I said it at first service, but I'm having trouble. Sforzando. It starts with an S. It's indicated with an SF in music, which means it is suddenly strong. In all of these passages, when Mary responds, it responds in the softness, in this gentle response and questioning of the angel. But in verse 38 are the words of faith, of believing, of the dynamics of the Annunciation when she says, "Behold, I am a handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Can you remember your favorite Christmas gift you've ever gotten in your life? If you could imagine what the favorite gift you received as a kid was. I have to think about my John Deere tractor I got when I was a little boy. My dad must have stayed up all night putting that thing together. This was before there were battery-powered tractors. This one was like a tricycle, but it was a green John Deere tractor, and man, I wore that out in the backyard. I so wanted to be my daddy Paul, and this was my tractor. One year it disappeared. Come to find out, hornets made a home in my tractor, and that's why it disappeared, but I love that gift, but it didn't last. If you were to imagine those gifts that you had as a kid, are you still have those, or are they lost somewhere in the years of time? One year in my life changed because on December the 26th, God gave me the gift to marry Carol in my life. And for a mom for Grace and a mom for Max and Charlie, she has been a tremendous Christmas gift that changes and shapes my ministry and my life. I am so thankful for her in my life. But I can't fully appreciate that gift if I have not yet opened the gift of Jesus. This week and all of the celebrations that you'll have and all the gifts that you'll open, there will be nothing as special or as life-changing as to remember that when everything isn't going your way, when family celebrations are different and there are all kinds of changes this year, to know what it is to have Jesus in your life shapes every other gift you open. It reminds you of what is important. It reminds you of who is God and whose kingdom you belong to. And so in every celebration of gifts under the tree, our challenge of our faith is don't stop believing, that we would be like Mary and we would recognize in a sudden way, a sforzando, that yes, Lord, I am your servant. I am your handmaiden. I am your husband, God. I am your son, God. I am your father. You know, that in the roles that we play out in our life, that they belong to God. Let it be with me according to your word. That's why reading scripture and knowing God's word is so important. Because you don't really know what path you're on. You really don't know how you live this out until you get into God's word. You don't really know how you apply this until you read and study and pray and listen for God's direction and how to live it out. Now, to the best of my knowledge, the angel Gabriel has never visited me. That's a dangerous thing to say, isn't it? It might happen. It might. And there are people in your life that they probably would say, you know, I've never been visited by an angel, or I've never been visited by the angel Gabriel. And Lord knows, with everything that we know about our world right now, there are some folks, maybe even some of us who are watching the service online or in this room, who are ready to give up. Where life is just too hard, things are just too difficult, and I just don't know what I'm going to do next. And the challenge to us this morning is that not only would we not stop believing, and we know what it is to open the gift of Jesus, but that we might be called this week to be like Gabriel to somebody else. A friend, someone in our family, a co-worker who really needs to hear, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. It's not just enough to believe in Christ ourselves. We are called to be followers of Jesus. And we are being challenged today to be messengers. That's all that an angel is a messenger. We are being challenged to be messengers of this faith. And for some of us, it will happen in a sudden sforzando. Well, I didn't say that right. An SF moment. My wife is laughing behind her face mask. You can't see that online, but I just want to tell on her in this moment. I know, that's dangerous. But that we, for some of us, to believe in Jesus will be that burst in that moment where we say, yes, Lord, I believe. And for others of us, it will grow like a crescendo where it will be that steady pulse of the gospel moment by moment where we come to accept God's truth. And that rhythm is right there. And Lord knows, if God can find Mary in this out-of-the-way place called Nazareth, that God knows where you are in Gallatin. If God can find Mary in Nazareth, God can find you right where you are. May we accept the faith to believe in Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.